Well, at the wedding yesterday, back to that, I'm sort of jumping back and forth between the scripture and into the present. So back into the present. At the wedding yesterday, the groom, his name was Michael Schwartz. Anyone good at linguistics? What kind of name is Schwartz? German. I think it means black, doesn't it? I think in German. Anyway, Michael's from Germany. His family's from Germany. His parents are from Germany. They even Skyped on a little cell phone so that his grandfather, who's still in Germany, could see the wedding in real time. Well, they're all from Germany, and they told me that all of their German friends, knowing that he was in North Carolina in USA, getting married on the bank of a river, what do you think they might have been thinking? How was the hurricane? Right? We hear that you're getting flooded out. Are you still alive? Because if you're in Germany and you watch the news, well, North Carolina's underwater. All of it. That's what people tend to think, right? Well, we know better, but if you're in Germany, Hurricane Florence hit North Carolina. If you're in Germany, we and our neighbors are the ones suffering from Hurricane Florence. Germany, a small country about the size of North and South Carolina combined, they think we are the ones suffering Hurricane Florence, when actually, it's just our neighbors. Well, that rings a bell for me. Just our neighbors. Way down at the coast, just our neighbors. We know some of you here, I don't mean to dismiss it, some of you are suffering the consequences of the hurricane. But many of us, we're like, well, that's we're safe, we're okay. But are we? Jesus said, and they were talking about the greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, and love what? Your neighbor as yourself. And do you remember what the question was that came after that famous statement? Who is my neighbor? Is it the people in Roxborough? Is it the people in this congregation? It's a question about where you draw the line, right? And so the people in Germany, our neighbors are flooded out. So you must be suffering. Indeed, we are. I thank God that this particular building is on high ground. I thank God that largely our members were spared, largely but not completely. Like I said, we have folks that have been affected. And it seems whether we're affected or unaffected depends on where we draw the line of where our neighbors are. I went to PUMP, Person County United Methodist Parish is what it stands for, kind of a mission collaborative of the folks in this county from other churches. And there was an urgency, a panic almost, a desperation to do everything we could amongst the churches of PUMP to help those who are still mucking out. Who is my neighbor? Jesus is sitting at the banquet. He tells a neighbor story. Who is this banquet for, after all? He tells a parable. He says in verses 12 to 14, thank you for reading that, Michael, when you throw a banquet, don't invite your friends, your brothers, your sisters, your rich neighbors. If you do, they might invite you back. Duh. That's why you have a banquet, isn't it? Anybody here work in sales? Anybody here work in sales or public relations or anything? Anyone ever taken a client to a nice restaurant or some special golf event or something? I used to not understand why'd they do that. You're trying to sell a product. Why would you take someone to a golf club, right? Well, duh. So that you'll have a relationship built, so that there's this trust form, so that there's an opportunity to show them how good you're. Well, maybe you're not in sales. Anybody ever gone to one of those fancy hotels downtown somewhere where when you get there and you check in, they have warm, gooey chocolate chip cookies? You ever been? Who's been to a hotel like that? Isn't that awesome? I'm going to wrap this sermon up so we can get out to the warm, gooey chocolate chip cookies, right? That's great, isn't it? I've been to those hotels before, the ones that have great customer service, right? Welcome, Mr. Priestaff. We're glad. How was your trip today, Mr. Priestaff? Your room is waiting for you. Is there anything we can do, Mr. Priestaff? Here, have a warm cookie, Mr. Priestaff. that is awesome. That sounds like this great banquet. But you know, if I was wearing like an overcoat and I smelled a body odor and I didn't have a reservation, that if I came and walked up to that desk and asked them for a warm, gooey chocolate chip cookie, what would they say? Those are for our guests. Now that is fine, I guess, for Embassy Suites or Hilton or whoever. But Jesus says that's not how the kingdom works. You're getting that cookie at that hotel because they want you to come back. They want you to remember what it's like to be at grandma's house, maybe, when and to remember, oh, when I go to that hotel, it makes me feel like grandma's house so that I will spend some more money there. Duh. But Jesus says that's not what the kingdom is like. Jesus isn't at a nice hotel. He's at the home of a church leader. He's talking about the kingdom of God, not the empire of the Embassy Suites. When you give a banquet, he says, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be best because they won't be able to repay you. Duh. But you will be blessed and repaid eternally. So this person at Jesus' banquet says, blessed is the person at the kingdom banquet. I think this person who said that, they say, wow, that would be a great banquet. This one that you described, Jesus, that would be a great banquet. I want to go to that banquet. That sounds like good soul food. And Jesus, I think, maybe detects a little dollar signs in the person's eyes. So he tells a parable, a story that he makes up to prove a point. A man was preparing a banquet. He invited many. He told his servant to go tell everyone, everything is ready, come and get it. But then the guest list people had excuses why they didn't want to come. I just bought a field. I just got to go see it. Can't come to your banquet. Oh, I have two oxen that I just bought. I got to try them out. Can't come to your banquet. I just got married. You know I can't come to your banquet. So the man tells his servants to go out and get people off the street. Bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame. We're going to have a party. So they do. The man with the banquet is angry at his original guests. He wants to share his joy, but everyone has something else going on. His servants go out. They do that. Now the banquet hall is almost filled with people who are blind and poor and lame and crippled. But they say there's still room. So the man says, I'm not going to waste the empty seats. Go out and compel more people to come in. And I tell you the truth, says the master. If you were one of those that got the original invitation, that has a seat with a little name card waiting, and you choose not to come into this party, you're not going to taste the food. Who is your neighbor? Are you coming to this banquet? Will you still come to the banquet when you find out who is sitting in there already? I want to tell you a story. It's told in a book called Living Stories of the Cherokee. It's a Native American story. It's called Yonder Mountain. There's a chief that is growing old, that has led his village for a long time. It's time for him to retire, and there's going to be a replacement to be named. And everyone says, pick him, pick him. He says, no. We need to have a contest. We need to find out who is worthy. So he says, you see that mountain over there, Yonder Mountain? I want you to go to the top of that mountain and come back with what you find. And based on what you find and what you tell us, I'll choose the next chief. So there's three people that want to get in on that and think they are worthy of being the chief, and they all set out up Yonder Mountain. And after a couple days pass, it's a long journey, one comes back and they're so excited, and he brings these precious gems and stones that are of great value. He says, look, our people can prosper now. I brought great wealth back to the village. And everyone says, make him the chief, make him the chief. And the chief says, no, let's wait. Let's wait and see who else comes back and what they bring. Well, no one comes. And there's a clamoring that maybe this will be the only successful contestant. But the next comes back, and in his bag, his pouch, he has these herbs and roots. It's medicine. We have many sick in our village, and I have found these. I saw the jewels, but I kept going. You said go to the top of the mountain. I didn't make it to the top, but I brought back these herbs, and now our people can be healthy. And everyone says, yes, healthy, make him the chief, make him the chief. He says, no, wait. And so they wait and they wait, and he's gone a long time, and he doesn't come back soon. And they're starting to say, well, pick between the first two. But finally, when they're just about ready to be desperate, the third one comes back. And they said, tell us what you brought. He said, I am empty-handed. Great, empty-handed. We waited for that. He said, I walked up, I saw the jewels, but you said go to the top of yonder mountain. So I kept going. I kept walking. I saw the herbs and I saw the roots and the medicinal plants. But you said go to the top of yonder mountain. So I kept going. And when I got to the top, I noticed as I looked down the other side of the mountain, there was another village that was this there. And I was curious. I didn't know that village even existed. And I went down and the people are in great distress and they're in need of outside help. And so I came back to say, we need to help them. We need to help them. And the chief said, this third person is the one who will become the chief. And he took off his robe. He is leading us into the future. And our future is to help our neighbors across yonder mountain. So there was an ad in the newspaper. It was in the Herald Sun on Sunday, September 30th. And Leon gave it to me and put it on my desk, gave it to Peggy, and she put it in. And I don't know if you saw it, but and it's hard to see from there. It says, in it for the long haul, there's a picture of a broom in a house with a destroyed wall. It says, headlines fade, water recedes, we'll still be here. It will take years to clean up the destruction from Hurricane Florence, but we will continue to work side by side with survivors until they're back on their feet. Let's rebuild together. Brought to you by the churches of the United Methodist Church of North Carolina, and a place where you can donate. I wonder if this newspaper is a call to go up and over the top of yonder mountain. Because while we were spared the hurricane's wrath, our neighbors were not so fortunate. Individuals in our congregation are quite generous. Let me take this opportunity to say out loud in front of all of you that we received an incredibly generous gift recently. Many of you knew Booty Wilkerson, who was 99 and a half years old and loved his church, lifelong member. In his estate, he left $150,000 to the church. Praise God for that. A bunch of money for the sound system, and a bunch of that money will go to pay down the debt, to pay for the elevator and the addition on the back so that those who have trouble walking can get up and into the sanctuary and anywhere here in our great facility. Praise God for that generosity. But you don't have to have an estate with $150,000 for that, for generosity to flow forth. Many of you volunteer, the Garden Club, Backpack Pals, the Christian Help Center, Hand in Hand, Prayer Shawls, Basic Pump. And now we're being asked by the district superintendent, our district superintendent, our district of 100 or so Methodist churches, were being paired with the Harbor District down on the coast that was severely affected. Because while we dodged a bullet with that storm, they didn't. And so we are going to be paired up with a church. I think that church is going to be Wesley Memorial in Wilmington under the leadership of Beth Hood. And we're going to find out what they need. And Long Memorial is going to walk alongside of them. And I want to let you know something. I am absolutely terrified. I don't know how this works. I don't know how completely generous you are. I've never done this kind of pairing up before. I don't know if we'll be able to do it, but God is calling us through the church to back up what this paper says, in it for the long haul. We've already started. Thanks to Jesse and Cornelia, we've been arranging flood buckets, Sunday school classes, the youth are putting together kits, we're collecting. We've already started, but this is a long haul. And we're going to find out. Now, we all have our limits. Some of us might be able-bodied enough to muck out a home, but some of us might only be able to pray. That's all right. But we will continue to extend this invitation, this calling. We are the United Methodist Church. Our neighbors are in need. We haven't done something like this before in this way. But we've got rooms, we've got space, we've got strength, we've got prayers, we've got resources. Maybe doing this will invite someone to the banquet table. The Bible says if you don't want to be at the table, you don't have to. I'm not compelling you. I'm not insisting. I'm not going to guilt you into it, but the invitation is open. It's just that if we decline God's invitation to be a part of this great banquet, well, we're not going to get a taste. Remember my grandfather, Homer Hilliard Hutto? When he signed up for the Navy, his world opened up. He didn't know what to expect, but he went wherever the admiral directed his ship. Well, the bishop is directing us to the Harbor District and maybe to Wesley Memorial. I don't know what we'll find there, but you've been preparing for this your whole life. When we signed up for this church stuff, we didn't know what to expect, what we were in for. We found out along the way that God has some unexpected assignments. You want me to do what? To sit down at a table next to who? Well, you're invited. The only question is, will you come? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we thank God for God's great generosity. And we look forward to what God will do. Amen.